www.thebigradio.com. You can interact with the show by calling 760-888-5749 or use the hashtag PWPRadio on Twitter. Here are your hosts, Jay Leno and Will TLD Vafidez.
It's TLD.
Yeah.
Four-time tag team champion.
I'm curvy. I'm cute. I'm a champion.
Folks, it's phenomenal what I do. You get to lay on TLD.
Why everything, damn it? I'm TLD.
It is me. That's right. I'm going to turn the music down. It is TNA's Bound for Glory. This is the live show right after the amazing show we just saw tonight. It is the 8th anniversary of Bound for Glory. And my God, if you did not order this show, you missed out. And I guess if you did actually order it, or at least streamed it, you saw it anyway, and you saw a great show. So please call into the show tonight. It's 760-888-5749. Please call in. We're going to talk all night about Bound for Glory. And if you don't catch the show, remember, you can catch us on iTunes right afterwards anyway. It'll be up tonight, so you can listen about all the Bound for Glory results. We had an amazing night as far as people, you know, so many new champions, so many great things happened tonight. But make sure, this is Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. Make sure you go to our website at prowrestlingpowerhouse.com. We have our Facebook page, as well as we are Twittering live. That's right, we are Twittering live. And you can catch us by doing hashtag PWPRadio. So I'm glad everybody joined in this evening. It's going to be a phenomenal discussion for the next hour. Please call in. I am expecting a couple of callers, but the first caller that calls in, guess what? You will be the co-host of the show. So we have about 7 matches to go through. It was incredible. I got to tell you, when you take TNA away from the Impact Zone, there's a clear difference in that. It just showed tonight that TNA, when they leave the Impact Zone, they have a crowd of people, and it really does, you know, make you feel like it's something really, really special. And I'm glad and I am proud of TNA tonight. They definitely took the stink off last year, because I actually went to last year's, and it was not a great ending to a pay-per-view. And even though we had the Hogan versus Sting match last year, this year definitely took it to a whole new level this year. And boy, it was just unbelievably incredible. But I have now got my co-host. I have a caller calling in, so I'm going to take him off mute, put him in. Let's put them live. The 773, you are now officially live on the air.
What's going on?
You got to say your name.
It's actually Patrick, one of your co-writers.
Hey, Patrick, how you doing? Listen,
not too bad.
Jay, I'm just a radio guy. I'm just a radio guy here. I don't really write too much on the show, I'll be honest.
Okay.
I know. So I forget that sometimes. And Patrick, thank you for coming into the show to have a little bit of hour of discussion tonight. Wait, I got to tell you, if you had, you know, did you watch last year's Bound for Glory?
Did I? I honestly don't remember.
Okay.
I can't remember what I did yesterday.
Well, you know, if I went to last year's Bound for Glory, and, you know, compared to this one, it sucks, basically. But this year's Bound for Glory, you can't say that this year's was not one of the best pay-per-views of the whole year.
I mean, you know, I'm openly admit I'm more of an indie fan. I am more of a WWE fan, not a huge TNA fan. But even I was pretty impressed with tonight's show. Not gonna lie, pretty damn good show by TNA.
Absolutely. And remember, if you want to be part of us and Patrick's discussion, again, our number is 760-888-5749, or for those of you who are already probably sleeping overseas, it's on iTunes, so make sure you download it. But now, let's go through the entire card from top to bottom, and let's see what you thought, what people thought. It's, wow, you know, I always have goosebumps from how good the show was. But let's talk about our first match tonight. Zema Ion defending his X Division Championship title against RVD. There was not really any build-up to this match except for one show. But I have to say, it was a great opening match. And if there was some backstory, it might have been like one of the take-home, you know, matches of the night. But, man, it was a good opener. RVD did capture the title. It was a quick match, but remember, they had a lot to get to in the show. What did you think, Patrick, of it?
I thought it was probably one of the better Rob Van Dam matches of the year so far. I'm a little surprised, though, that they would have RVD win the title over Zema. I would think that the X Division, it seems like it's more of a younger generation belt. So to have somebody like Rob Van Dam, who's a great, great wrestler, don't get me wrong about that, but to have him go over the champion, obviously to win the belt, I'm not too sure I like this.
Well, it's a fresh face. I don't think Zema Ion is getting over as, I mean, in the crowd, he definitely did tonight. But if you go to the Impact Zone, he has not exactly caught on with the fans, I think. They're really trying to push this Jesse Neal, or not Jesse Neal, but Jesse Sorensen injury. And we got a year for that. And we honestly don't even need a title to be involved. But,
yeah,
you know, I think Rob Van Dam can add some freshness to the X Division. The X Division hasn't been getting too much attention since Zema won it. I think now they'll get some more attention. I think that was the main purpose of tonight. But regardless, we had a great, great match to start off the show.
Oh, that's no doubt. Definitely a very, very good match put out by them, and a very good opener to in front of a crowd that was really hot all night long.
Absolutely. This is what I said at the beginning of the show. Because when you take TNA out of the Impact Zone, it's a clear difference. You see it every time it happens when they're on the road. And
it definitely feels like
a smaller version of WWE, but it had a hot crowd to kind of go with it. So honestly, I didn't care if they had a crowd or, you know, if they had a sellout crowd or not. It felt like a sellout crowd tonight.
Yeah, I would hope it'd be a sellout crowd if it's your biggest show of the year.
Well, you know, judging from when I went to last year, I wouldn't think that. But let's go on to the next match that occurred. It was for the television title, two back-to-back championships. It was Mag Daddy, as he called himself, which I thought was tremendous. I wanted to get that trending. Magnus versus Samoa Joe, and Samoa Joe pulled it out, got the victory. And again, this was another fantastic match. Good reversals, good submission that Joe continues to use, the submission moves to win his matches. A lot of people thought Magnus would win this one. I had a gut feeling, but it's Samoa Joe, and he is money, he is history, and I thought this was another great match. It's probably the best television title match of all time as of right now.
Yeah, probably.
I don't remember any of them anyway.
Well, hey, that's mean. I will say the one thing that killed it a little bit for me, though, is the fact that you're starting a pay-per-view off with two title matches. That part, it almost telegraphed it. It's like Magnus isn't going to win this. You know, because if you're going to start your show off with a title match, you're going to have the title change. What are the odds that you're going to, A, have two title matches in a row to kick off a pay-per-view, and B, that it's going to be two title changes? Not likely.
Well, you know, I look at it like this. I think they wanted to get the crowd really hot. I think that's what they were kind of focusing on this show, for at least this match in particular, these first two matches. Because they had a lot to get to, and obviously we clearly saw the order of how things went. I actually did enjoy the flow of the entire card. I thought they kind of got the crowd hired up, then they kind of slowed it down, and then they brought it up again. So I thought it was a very, very good match overall. So I can't really complain. Joe is just Joe. You know, how can you say nothing bad about Joe?
True. I've been watching him for, God, probably almost a decade now. Great, great athlete. And I mean, I'm not trying to take away anything from Magnus. This was a hell of a match. He's a great, great wrestler. But it's Samoa Joe you're going against at the biggest pay-per-view of the year. You're
right,
not going to win.
Yeah, right. That's why I thought Samoa Joe would definitely do it. I mean, we did see one title change. I thought, you know, having two title changes to start the show would have really gotten the crowd, you know, really going. But it didn't need a title change. I think Joe having the title can give this belt credibility. You know, I think Magnus was definitely going to be, you know, a star. We just have to wait in time. But all I have to say is that Magnus had a great tan, which I'm very jealous of, and that I want to get Mag Daddy trending, because that was just a phenomenal way of adding his name into that. I don't know why. Maybe it's just me. So,
yeah, I'm sitting there watching this. I'm like, what the hell did he just call himself?
Yes, but you know what I did like about tonight too is that a lot of these matches had thoughts from the some of the participants in the match, and I thought that added to something because we don't get to see too much backstage interviews, especially on the WWE side of in pay-per-views. We don't get to see that, and this time, almost every match almost had something like that, which I thought was great. It got a kind of a pre-show thought of one of the participants, and then they go out to the ring to kind of hype the crowd up, you know, what's coming up next, which I thought I liked. There was no surprises. You knew what was coming next.
Yeah, it got you excited about what was coming up next. I didn't like that, and you're right. You don't see that very much outside of main event matches for WWE. So to see TNA doing that, it was definitely something different. It did every match have more of a big match feel.
Absolutely. We're going to go on to the next match, and boy, people could say this was match of the night. There's a lot of matches of the night, but this one could definitely be it. James Storm against Bobby Roode, the year build-up with King Mo as the special guest enforcer, not referee, he was the enforcer, and these two had a bloodbath. I mean, you talk about a battle. You know, one thing that I got mad about before this entire show was that we saw those two fight each other on an episode of Impact, in a street fight kind of feel. So I was mad because I thought they gave that away, and I thought it took away from the match. And I am glad to say that I was mistaken. They definitely took it to a different level. And James Storm wins the match with the beer bottle to the top of the head to kind of, I guess, put the kibosh on this story. But James Storm wins, and I was on my feet for that one. That was just a great match, and I think James Storm, you know, after now finally defeating his former best friend after a year, it's definitely, you know, it's like a satisfaction to the fans, I think.
Yeah, they did a hell of a lot more than I was expecting. You know, I was not expecting thumbtacks, and I figured, okay, after they did the one spot where I believe it was Storm blocked the suplex on the thumbtacks and just shoves them, I figured that was probably going to be it. However, to also do the beer bottle, B, the last call, and C, have them fall into the thumbtacks, kind of just said, okay, this is over.
That
sold that match for me.
Yeah, that was a nice little touch that he got a beer bottle. The fans wanted another beer bottle. I actually was hoping he would do another one. But the way that he ended, where he, you know, his back was perfectly landed on the tacks, I thought a phenomenal, phenomenal match. But my biggest gripe, and I'm sure you know this, is Kamo did absolutely nothing except for one spot.
That, honestly, I was expecting it to almost be Michaels and Austin in reverse. Because it seemed like over the last few weeks, Storm was buddying up a little bit with King Mo. I was expecting if they were going to do something with King Mo, it was going to be right here, and they were just probably going to have him deck Storm to get Bobby Roode the win. I was actually really surprised and very pleased about how little he got involved and the fact that the match just played out itself. There was no outside interference outside of the one shove.
Right.
Outside of that, there was nothing from him.
Right. And you know, he did not get involved, but the hype for King Mo to be a part of it was not needed. There could have been other matches he could have definitely been involved in. Especially, I would have thought the main event would have been adding a little bit more to it, you know. So, but overall, I would say that this was probably my match of the night for this show. I got real excited for that one. So, great show. We're going to move on to our next, you know, match. And this one was definitely interesting, but a lot of people might have called what would happen at the end. It was the Hollywood man himself, Joey Ryan, going against Al Snow, who, by the way, didn't dress up in gear tonight. He dressed in the fight. So Joey Ryan, you know, wow. I thought Austin Aries was cocky. This guy is just above him. You know, Joey Ryan's showing how cocky he was the entire match. You know, definitely didn't look like he was going to win based on the way he was acting. But it was a great classic wrestling match, nothing high-flying. It was a slowdown to the previous, you know, street fight. But the surprise that came out of that was Matt Morgan came through the crowd and took out Al Snow to help Joey Ryan win his match, and now he is a full-time TNA contract. Patrick, what did you think of that outcome?
I did not expect that at all. Let me rephrase that. I expected Ryan to win. I thought there may have been a shot at interference, but for it to be Matt Morgan surprised the hell out of me because I figured Morgan was done.
There was a lot of things about that was going on, but one thing that made me realize he's not done is that they kept showing the direct auto insurance commercials that featured Matt Morgan. So to me, they kept putting Morgan in your head during the commercial time just to make sure he's there. Also, a couple weeks back, they brought up on a DVD, a portable DVD player or an iPad or something, and showed Matt Morgan taking out someone at a house show. So I knew he wasn't gone out of the light. But, yeah, this was the match to do it. And based on the discussion that Al Snow had with Kevin Pritchard, you kind of saw – that's where I kind of knew we might see him. And we did.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, Ryan is definitely a star. He's going to be something.
Yeah. I don't know why, and it was only specifically tonight. I looked at Joey Ryan, and I saw John Morrison. But I'm not sure if that's really a good thing or a bad thing. Because
as far as athletic ability, I would not put him with that. I would say he's like a – he's not a 60s John Morrison. He's more like the 1980s John Morrison.
Yeah. And I mean – and it was just like his style, his arrogance, his cockiness, the hair, just with a mustache.
And there were some great tricks in that match, too. He actually, like, one of my favorite spots is that he, Joey Ryan was going for a baseball slide, and he slid him right into the ring apron, and he was trapped in the ring apron. Just a classic move by Al Snow. He's, you know, that guy definitely was so underrated, but he still gets all that attention because he's so well-known, you know, through all the head gimmick, but also how he teaches these guys to wrestle and how good he's done. I mean, over the last year, you could see the talent, you know, is there.
Yeah, it was Al Snow essentially did more of an old school match, and he would use the small spots, and he brought in head, and, you know, and it was really, like I said, a basic match, a simple match, but it kind of fit with the fact that we had everything else with this pay-per-view. We needed a slower-paced, more finesse matchup. And that's, to me at least, that's what we got with this one.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And, you know, it did what it did on its place. It wasn't meant to be the match of the night. It was meant to slow down that show for, you know, after that match. And, like I said, placement matters. It absolutely matters, and this was a good spot to do it. And Joey Ryan wins with Matt Morgan now being involved, and I wonder what this means for Joey Ryan or perhaps, you know, some of that gut check talent that hasn't done anything, you know, do you think they're going to get involved with this?
You know, I don't see maybe anybody who was accepted through gut check, but more specifically because we haven't seen anybody else, my thinking is that it's mostly just going to be Matt Morgan and Joey Ryan, and it's probably going to be, to to do another WWE thing here, sorry, but it's going to be almost like the mid-90s Shawn Michaels with Diesel as the bodyguard. That's how I saw it going, just from what happened tonight.
Excellent point. You know, we're going to take a little bit of a break, and I want to sync this in because, you know, this is the first time I get to run the show around here. Jay Leto's off, you know, with his parents. You know, he's probably listening in. But I have to know, you know, since I decided to play my theme song in the beginning of the show, I'm going to offer something, a great special for all you fans. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play my theme song one more time to slow things down a little bit. And what we're going to do is people who, if you are interested in having this theme song or having this to be in your iPhone and play it every time that you have a call and you hear my voice, we can have that play and you can have it for your iPhone for absolutely free. All you have to do is email me at tldwrestling@gmail.com. So we're going to play a little snippet of it to slow down the pace, and then we'll be right back, and then we'll talk about the final matches, the last four matches that we have, or three. I lost count. I'm just so excited. Let's play some TLD theme music.
It's TLD.
Yeah.
Four-time tag team champion. I'm curvy. I'm cute. I'm a champion.
What I do. You get to lay on TLD.
Buy everything, damn it. I'm TLD. Brand new deals that we have at TLDWrestling.com. I love this stuff.
TLD merchandise only available at where? That's right, TLDWrestling.com.
I'm a 2001 Golden Bucks Heavyweight Champion.
Okay. All right, I had to get that off my chest. For those people who are just joining in, this is Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio at blogtalkradio.com. We are here talking about Bound for Glory, TNA's 8th anniversary of Bound for Glory. Patrick has called in. He is a writer of TNA for Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. And make sure you add us on, or like us. We don't add you because you have to like us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/ Pro Wrestling Powerhouse, as well as check out the website. If you're interested in writing articles, you could definitely do that, as well as go to my website, tldwrestling.com. Patrick, you got any plugs you want to do?
Well, I guess I might as well plug what I've been writing about all month long, and that is I'm the one who's heading up the psychotic idea of doing Shintober. So if you want to check Pro Wrestling Powerhouse every Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, and I'm going to be doing a different article every day and every week leading up to the 50th show of Shimmer, which happens Halloween weekend, last weekend in October.
For those of you who don't know, Shimmer is a independent wrestling league, and it is you can tell more about it because you know more about it, but Shimmer, I believe, is that the women's one, or is that am I correct?
No, you're absolutely right. They are
right.
All women. It's run by Allison Danger and Dave Frazak. And
they do generally two
tapings a year.
Thank you very much, Patrick, for that plug. You know, but you know, not only is Pro Wrestling Powerhouse one of the greatest websites of all time, but TLDWrestling.com is too. And make sure you also check me out at BrooklynFord.com because guess what? All my wrestling matches are on there. It's definitely something you should check out. You fans cannot miss that. Now, I actually have a caller, so we're going to take this call, and I hope this caller has some great feedback and that will say nothing negative about my website, tldwrestling.com. So let's bring him in. Area code 310, you are live. Hey, your name is
Hey, what's up? Hey, what's up? It's Ricky from San Pedro. Hey, I just want to say that Jeff Hardy is a filthy fucking smackhead, and y'all should go to chaoticradio.com and listen to Dante Mandy every Thursday.
That guy absolutely has to get
Oopsie.
Off the air. You know, here's my problem with that. Okay, folks, we try to be respectful and we try to, you know, give great content. And we have idiots like that call into the show and are completely disrespectful to us. And I apologize for that because that's not what Jay is. Jay did not start the website. He's there. He's promoting to have people come together and actually try to be like one big wrestling family, and we have guys like that, and I do apologize. It's disrespectful, and Patrick, I have nothing to say about that guy.
What's the next match?
Yeah, the next match we're going to go to, ladies and gentlemen, was the triple threat tag team match. It was Chavo Guerrero and Hernandez versus the World Tag Team Champions, the Apple Martinis of the world, Christopher Daniels.
Wait. It's the World Tag Team Champions of the world.
Of the world. Yeah, that's right.
Get it right.
That up. Let me start over. It was Chavo Guerrero, Hernandez versus the World Tag Team Champions of the world, Christopher Daniels and Kazarian, against AJ Styles and Kurt Angle. And a big ending to unbelievable spots in this match. They definitely put it was slow at first, but it really picked up at the end. And it was the team of Chavo Guerrero and Hernandez defeating, I believe it was it Kazarian or Daniels? I forget.
I believe they pinned Daniels.
Okay, so they defeated Daniels, and they are the new tag team champions. But the Phoenix crowd was not really into it.
Don't worry, neither was I.
I'm concerned. Well, this match I thought overall was a really, really great match. I think that it was just one of the best. This is what tag team wrestling, you know, over the last few months has really picked up. It started with TNA and this tag team where these guys are just cocky, arrogant, and it advanced to now these guys, Chavo Guerrero and Hernandez now are going to be the tag team champions. I think it was the right move because AJ and Kurt can be singles competitors. They don't need to be a tag team. And Christopher Daniels and Kazarian should continue going against Chavo Hernandez. But I worry that AJ Styles and Kurt Angle are lifelong TNA guys. Christopher Daniels and Kazarian as well. Chavo's not, and Hernandez has not been on TV that much. Do you think this might backfire a little bit on him?
I think the crowd told you. Out of any team in this match, if you were to have made me make a top three list of who's going to win this match, Chavo and Hernandez were going to be dead last. I do not see them being good champions. I did not think that they should be the champions. They've only been teaming for only a few weeks, and I would have preferred to see. I would have preferred to see Angle and Styles win, but then that would also set something up later on with Hernandez and Chavo winning. Where can they go with this now?
I'm not really sure where they're going to go with it, but I think that we have to let it play out. I think as long as Kazarian and Kaz are still involved, I don't think nothing bad's going to come out of it, but I do think that people are going to start cheering for them because they are the World Tag Team Champions of the world after all, right?
I don't see them being cheered.
Well, we'll find out when we go back to the Impact Zone. I mean, there is that legacy. Unless they do that live cheat and steal. But Hernandez, you know, showed his power tonight. That dive over the top rope, by the way, was tremendous. I got to say, that was
absolutely
incredible.
That was amazing.
About tag team wrestling. I know I'm a former six-time tag team champion, so I know a thing or two about tag teams, ladies and gentlemen. But we'll see what happens with that. We have to let that grow. But we have another caller coming in. I am so scared to even answer this call. But I have to go.
I would be too.
All right. So I got my mute button. Let me get my mute button ready. Okay. So here we are. It is 661 area code. You are now, let me press the button, live here on our show, Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. Say your name and where you're from.
Hey, guys. This is Sean the Shark Williams coming from Santa Clarita. You don't have to worry. I'm not going to give any stuff like the last guy, but I got to say, overall, this was probably the most solid pay-per-view that TNA has done in quite some time. I'm a little on the fence about RVD as the X Division champion, given I know they're trying to add star power back into the division. I just don't know whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. And I know you guys were talking about the tag team title match. Honestly, I think it was time for Daniels and Kazarian to drop the belts. Given, I'm not saying that Chavo and Hernandez were my best choice on that, but honestly, I just think that they had to drop those belts.
Well, thank you, Sean, for calling in. I'm going to put you on hold. We'll get your opinions on some of the other matches later on down the line. You know, I have to agree. You know, we'll see how it goes. I mean, the tag team title match was indeed really good. You know, I would say, again, slow pace, but definitely picked up at the end. Good
yeah.
match. It's and AJ Styles, especially going on the ropes, going from one rope to another, where it kind of fooled us. You know, you had to be there to see it, folks. Like, I can't even explain it. So let's move on to the next match. It was Tara versus Miss Tessmacher in a knockout championship match. Tessmacher is the student. Tara is the teacher. The teacher prevailed as we saw Tara defeat Miss Tessmacher. Crowd not really into it, but that's women in knockouts matches. You know, you can't win them all. Tara is the winner. But what really was the outcome of this whole thing was that her big boyfriend was...
Who are you?
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, I know you're... It's not Jesse Katsopoulos, ladies and gentlemen. It was Jesse from Big Brother. Who the fuck is that?
This was such a brain down. I'm a huge Tara fan. I live in Chicago. I've met her a few times already since she moved here. I was so happy to see her win, and then it was just I was so happy to see her win, and then it just became this massive letdown of who the hell is this jerk-off?
Yeah, I did not get it. Sean, can you tell me why this happened? Someone explain it to me.
Well, you know, they needed to have a cool-down match. I get that. But seriously, that's probably the one complaint I have with the pay-per-view is how the heck do you have that one in the final three matches of the night and you have James Storm and Bobby Roode take place so early on the card? I just don't get that at all. And honestly, you know, I kind of had a feeling Tara was going to win this match. And as far as the big reveal of her, quote, Hollywood boyfriend, I still didn't care. I didn't even care before it was revealed.
Well, I look at it in this way that I really thought, honestly, it was going to be like, I really thought Eric Young was actually going to be the person. I just thought that was it. To add more storylines into the fold. But, you know, Tara does win the match. I think that if you switch the Joey Ryan match around, I think it wouldn't have been as a big deal. I think that was more important at the end. So you could have switched those two. But, again, it was just a way just to calm down the tag team title match and just have a nice slow match because we had our two big main event matches. And that's where we're going to go on to is our next match. Actually, before that, let's talk about Sting. He is in the Hall of Fame for TNA. They showed footage of it. They actually showed footage on the Countdown of Bound for Glory, which, by the way, I watched, which was really great. It's good to see that again. You know, it's like a Sunday night heat leading into the pay-per-view. And Sting is in the Hall of Fame. Lex Luger ended up being there, which was really cool. And, you know, Hogan helping induct him. So I got to hear, first we're going to hear from you, Patrick, what your thoughts are about it.
I mean, TNA has in the Hall of Fame.
Let's be nice now first. Don't be too harsh. You know, we're not being a little here, okay?
I'll be nice. TNA has in the Hall of Fame. I don't think they've been around long enough to deserve one, but if they were going to have one, which obviously they do,
they
would be one of the guys that I would definitely induct. However, I would also put Jeff Jarrett, Jerry Jarrett, and probably in there first before him since they created the damn company.
Well, I think Sting, because Sting was really thought of never to come back to wrestling, and if it wasn't for Sting being a part of TNA, I don't know how they would have gotten that recognition or the buzz that they got when Sting came in, and I think it did help them. I want to hear from Sean Williams. What are your thoughts, TNA Hall of Fame? It went to Sting. What did you think of the ceremony from what we saw?
Well, you know, it was good for a Hall of Fame induction, although I wasn't too crazy about TNA really having a Hall of Fame. I mean, in the case of something like WWE, it makes sense because they've existed for as long as they have. But as far as what about Jeff Jarrett, why wasn't he inducted? Well, from what I heard is that they talked about it. He didn't want to be the first inductee. So you really can't, if that's the case, you can't really fault it on him. But I think Sting was a legit choice. I mean, let's face it, the guy is a Hall of Famer, period. I mean, he's one of those that has done, I mean, you go back to WCW, the guy carried that company on his shoulders from pretty much start to finish. So I had no problem with Sting's induction.
I did enjoy the induction. I think it didn't look presenting like a WWE Hall of Fame. My biggest gripe with the whole thing was that Hogan wasn't wearing a suit, or a lot of people weren't dressed up to look like it was a Hall of Fame. The lighting in the place didn't look like a Hall of Fame. That was my gripe about it. Sting was all dressed up, ready to go, and a lot of other people did not look dressed up from the crowd. Even Hogan didn't look dressed up, and he should have been. This was an important night, I think, for Sting, because you know he's not in the WWE Hall of Fame. He can't be until he's out of a TNA contract, and Sting deserves recognition, you know, and this was the way to do it. I just think that some people, not TNA's fault, but I think it's that they just did not make it feel important, because that should have been like a good 30 minutes of the whole, you could have shown the whole thing on the countdown, and that was my only gripe about it, but I think that it's well-deserving, and good for Sting being in there, because it leads up right to our semi-main event. It was Aces and Eights against Sting and Bully Ray. Aces and Eights brings out Joseph Parks, handcuffs him to the rope. But, you know, we saw Bully Ray come out with the, Sting has his old gear on as far as his entrance attire anyway. But Bully Ray comes out with the face paint. That was the little tidbits that matter. And Bully Ray just looked like a star tonight. And before we get to their actual reveal, what did you think of the match first? I'm sorry, I apologize. See, I'm new to this, ladies and gentlemen. I'm getting there.
I thought it was what it should have been. That's kind of how I look at it. It was what it should have been. It should have been a brawl. It should have involved the other members of Aces and Eights. It should have had one of them being the mask. It was what it should have been. Now, and obviously we'll get to this, the ending, I don't think there's a person in that arena, anybody watching this, that expected the person to be unmasked who it ended up being. I don't think anybody expected that.
Indeed. I totally agree. I got some goosebumps on that one, too. So before we get to the reveal, because I like to build the tension, you know, tension is good building. So, Sean, what did you think overall in just the match itself between everybody?
Well, I agree with the stipulation change and making it a no DQ match. I figured with all the buildup and all the heat, everything that was put into the buildup of Aces and Eights and this confrontation, you couldn't settle for just a regular match. You had to have it either a no DQ or a street fight. But as far as, I know you guys said you're going to get to the reveal and all, but
right.
I just got to say without saying anything about it that on my show I predicted, I theorized what if it were Devon, since they still mentioned him, but I didn't think
spoiler.
It was going to happen. Sorry,
yeah,
but
I'm
just saying that, but I agree. I don't think anybody saw this coming.
No, but I can tell you right now, we all saw, the rumors were online that his contract was up, and Devon ends up being the guy, and Bully Ray is right there in the ring with him. You talk about a perfect plan, that was it. There couldn't have been more of a perfect plan. You know, Mr. Anderson got taken out. Bully Ray got put in. People didn't trust him. People thought Bully Ray was going to do it. People thought Eric Bischoff, Jeff Jarrett, the names were out there. TNA.
Even Garrett Bischoff.
Even Garrett Bischoff. You know, Eric Bischoff was tweeting all night. I was wondering if he would be involved. But, man, did they put a twist on this. Oh, I rhymed. I love when I rhyme.
And
Devon comes out, and actually they attack him, but they take the mask off, and even the crowd could not believe it. They were just dead silent for a while, because that's how you definitely build up a storyline. You talk about now where this is going to go. I have no idea where it's going to go now after I just saw that reveal. Patrick, what is your thought on the reveal?
That was awkward.
Is that a good or bad thing?
But one other thing is there was a split second where I thought as soon as Hogan's theme hit, it brought me back to Bash at the Beach '96. Because you have two guys being taken out by a gang in Unity face paint, and then all of a sudden Hogan comes in, and for that split second I'm just like, you've got to be kidding me. And I literally posted, I'm like, is Hogan the third man? Or in this case, Heath. But Devon was not a thought in my head one bit. And it definitely shocked me, and I liked it. I liked it a lot.
You know, the wrestling fans like to be surprised today, and I'm one of them. I like to be surprised. I don't like to know outcomes. We all look on the internet, and we see Devon's gone. People thinking, oh, he's going to go back to his school. He forfeited the television title. So you really thought he was gone. And to see that happen, you know, definitely put a surprise on everyone's face. Twitter was talking about it like crazy. Sean, what did you think of it?
It was like you guys were saying, this was, I mean, perfect execution is the two words I can think of that come to mind. I mean, this is the best.
TNA perfect execution, that doesn't happen often.
Yeah, I know.
Tweet it right now. Tweet it right now. Perfect execution.
How big of an oxymoron is that? Perfect execution in TNA. But
yeah, no
seriously,
kidding.
I mean, this to me has similarities to in WWE when Daniel Bryan got fired and then SummerSlam he returned. I mean, was he legitimately fired, or was it a work? No one really knows for sure. And we don't. And this whole thing with Devon, I think, was just, this is probably the most effort in terms of storyline and reveal that I've seen TNA do in some time. But this leads me to really looking forward to Impact this Thursday. But here's
the
thing. They can't wait any longer to reveal the rest of the group. I don't think they can wait much longer than this. If there isn't more to this reveal, because keep in mind, Aces and Eights are now have full access, whatever that means. So if they unmatch, there's no consequence.
Right. I tell you now Devon can come in anytime he wants, and he gets involved in whatever situations are going on. I got to say, TNA did a phenomenal job. I thought it was perfectly executed. I even thought Matt Morgan, one of my other followers, is actually telling me he thought it was Morgan. Morgan could have definitely been a choice after all that happened. But, wow, great job by TNA. Definitely fooled us. And I'll tell you right now, I was already taken away from the whole show. I didn't know if I was going to make it for the main event. But, you know, I think that, you know, on Impact, we will see. I don't think they should reveal everybody just yet. I think a slow reveal is good. Devon's got to establish himself as the leader of the Aces and Eights, and he has to be the guy that has to take control. But eventually, some of those guys are going to be revealed. We just have to see, first of all, we have to find out why Devon even is the way he is, and are there other people involved? Like, is Morgan involved with it? Because they could tie that in. We don't know, but moving forward past this, great job by TNA. It's main event time. It was the TNA World Heavyweight title. Jeff Hardy, the challenger, the winner of the Bound for Glory series versus Austin Aries for the title. Austin Aries comes in as the heel in this match, but it definitely didn't feel that way when you watch the entire card, especially in the beginning of the countdown to Bound for Glory. You know, he was in a crowd of wrestling fans who appreciate Austin Aries, and it's a quick heel turn, and I don't think people are getting there yet. Maybe in the Impact Zone they will, but in Phoenix, Arizona, it was split 50-50, a little bit more Aries, I would say, but the winner of the match is Jeff Hardy. He actually wins the TNA Championship. I actually looked on Wikipedia about 10 minutes before the ending of the match, and it already said Jeff Hardy defeated Austin Aries. Very strange that I saw that. So that already kind of put a damper on my mood. But Jeff Hardy wins. Patrick, what are your thoughts on the match itself?
As far as the match goes, solid outing. I mean, quite frankly, I couldn't tell you the last time there was a bad match from Austin Aries. the match itself was really, really good. And, you know, there were a couple spots where, A, I thought Hardy could win before he eventually did. I thought, B, there were times when Aries was going to win. And I thought, C, there were a couple times that Aries might have killed Jeff Hardy. But very, very solid outing. And it was more of a typical Austin Aries match, which is gold.
Absolutely. And, you know, don't let the finish take away from the match either, because the match itself was a really, really strong match. I thought it was going to be hard to top everything we just saw, you know, but they did it. And they definitely put on a great match, some definite bumps that could scare the hell out of you. And they definitely did a great job. Sean, what was your opinion of it?
Well, like Patrick was just saying that, you know, I don't think I can't even recall the last time I've seen a bad match out of Austin Aries. I mean, without question, he's one of the best out there. But in my opinion, I was personally rooting for Aries to come out on top in this. And it's got nothing to do with Jeff Hardy's past. I just think, in my opinion, there's more bank in Austin Aries than there is in Jeff Hardy. However, that being said, this was far from over from these two. Guaranteed we'll see these two duke it out again for the belt. And I'll make the prediction that at some point we will see Aries with the belt again, because I think he's too good for TNA to not give him another title run.
I agree. I think a heel turn should have been after this match, after they were both faces going in. And because that right away, when he loses the belt, he could definitely feed on that. The crowd, though, the problem is the crowd was not 100% behind Hardy, like the company, I think, would have expected. Because you look at Impact Zone and house shows, and Hardy's getting all the attention. Like Aries says, you know, Aries is trying to get his heat on, but the fans just react because they have respect for Austin Aries and TLD, but mostly Aries. So I had to pull that in there. So I did enjoy the show. Great. I got to tell you, this show, I don't know how much the show is to order. Like, is it 35? I don't even know how much I pay. I just press the button and it just goes through. So
I think it's 45 for HD and 35 for standard.
Okay, I got 35 because I had no choice. I got a 4:3 television in my room. So if you had to put a price point on this right now, was it worth the entire money or not?
Yeah, I would definitely say so. Absolutely.
John, what do you
Without think? Question, without question, it was worth the money. And
was
these
it?
Days, these days, it's so hard to have a wrestling pay-per-view where you order it and you actually feel like it was worth your money. This was one of those that was definitely worth every bit of it and then some.
Would you say this was now, because we have to, if people are going to do the comparison here, we have Bound for Glory, and we had WrestleMania this year. Is there any way to say that from the top to the bottom of the card, which one you felt was better, Patrick?
You jerk.
I put in the tough questions out there, ladies and gentlemen. That's what I do. I get to be in charge of the show. I get to ask the tough questions.
Are you talking every single match on the card?
No, I'm talking about from the moment that you saw the show to the ending of the show. Which one gave you that feeling of satisfaction that you enjoyed the show?
And mostly I'm saying this because of the ending, because I wanted to see Austin Aries win. I would have to go with WrestleMania, honestly.
So the ending will ruin it for you.
Yeah, the ending here ruined it for me because I wanted to see Aries win it at the big show, because now it almost feels like he was more of a transitional champion between two key pay-per-views.
That could be true. You know, Sean, what is your feeling on that question?
You see, I'll disagree.
Here's the thing, right?
Yeah, because here's the thing. You look back at this year's WrestleMania, only one match to me stands out, and that's the Hell in a Cell between Triple H and Taker. Yet this card, in my opinion, with the exception of maybe the knockout title match, just because of the order it was put in, that was the thing that bothered me the most. But everything else, the majority of the matches stick out for me. I mean, you have the reveal with Aces and Eights. You have Hardy and Aries put on one hell of a match, despite the fact that I think a lot of us would have rather seen Aries win than Jeff Hardy. And then you have James Storm and Bobby Roode damn near kill each other. So, in my opinion, I would actually go as far as to say, I think between this past WrestleMania or Bound for Glory, I'll take this Bound for Glory.
You know, I'm actually going to have to go with that also. I think that from top to bottom, I think Bound for Glory gave me that satisfaction as a fan, especially for somebody who last went to their show and was disappointed in it. And, you know, because the ending was bad. It was Bobby Roode losing after all that build, and then a week later he wins the belt. It kind of like put a lot of fans, when I walked out of the arena, like, were completely pissed. I think that people walking out of this show in Phoenix are very satisfied at that, because, you know, when Daniel Bryan lost the belt in 18 seconds, that put a damper on people. This show, you really can't say that the way the direction is going of the company, everything went the right way it should have went. I mean, do you guys agree?
Yeah, I agree.
No.
You know what? Somebody send a memo to WWE. This is how you do a three-hour show.
Well, I can't say that, because I actually do like their Raws. You know, I actually haven't had a problem, because they actually give us some good wrestling on the Raw. You know, but I think overall, I think this proves that TNA can definitely put on a great product, you know, that they have to be on the road. This just clearly shows a stamp on that, you know, that happened. And it was just overall, I got excited for it. I enjoyed it. I think that there's a direction that we're going in. Feuds are going to be ending. New feuds are going to be starting. It did exactly, because WrestleMania does not end feuds sometimes. They go to backlash for it sometimes, you know, well, all the time, actually, lately. You know, so I think that there's going to be a lot of stuff ending and new beginnings.
I saw Extreme Rules live after WrestleMania, so I was happy.
Yeah, well, Extreme Rules definitely was probably the show of the year, as most people put. Would you put this one as show of the year, Patrick, right now?
For TNA or overall?
Well, no, we know this is the definite best show for TNA. We know that for a fact. If you had to say this is one of the top five pay-per-views of the year, would you put it number two, number three?
I probably will put it three or four.
Three or four? John?
Yeah, because I thought Destination X was also a pretty solid outing for TNA also, so it's kind of between those two. For me, Extreme Rules is number one pay-per-view, and not just because I saw it live. I thought it was the best pay-per-view of the year outright.
As far as TNA pay-per-view, I think we can all agree this, right now, this is the front runner for pay-per-view of the year for TNA standards. As far as overall, I would definitely put it in the top three. It was definitely that good, but it's hard for me to really say if this is the top of overall wrestling product, because, like Patrick was saying, Destination X was pretty strong, and plus you had Bobby Roode and Austin Aries in the main event of that pay-per-view tear the roof off, just like what Hardy and Aries did tonight.
You know, I totally agree. You know, I do put this as one of the top five of the year. I would say it's going to probably be the top three as of right now. You know, I want to thank, by the way, Sean, thank you for calling in to the show. You know, it was just Patrick, I got to say, I just enjoyed tonight. It was just an enjoying night to watch some wrestling, to enjoy, you know, just being a wrestling fan again. And people were scared about Bound for Glory either not being promoted well or not being, you know, seen as one of the top shows. I think last year people got disappointed. You know, this was a show to order. And some people on the Facebook page, you know, we had a trend going all night, you know, about it. And, you know, some people were talking about, you know, getting the show, but they wanted to watch it on stream. And one of the gentlemen on there was like, you know, not very, you know, was trying to find a stream for it. And we were trying to, you know, you want to give TNA a chance. This was the show to do it, in my opinion.
Yeah.
There's no reason to go that route.
That's
how I look at it.
Like I said, I'm not a huge TNA fan, but this seems like, you know, the big enough show, you know, kind of like I said, WrestleMania or Death Before Dishonor for Ring of Honor, and this is probably this and Lockdown, because I love Steve Cage matches. These are the two that I generally will look to actually purchase. Anything else, yeah, I'll admit I stream, but and unfortunately I was actually low on finances. I had no choice. I had to stream, but this was one of the few cases where I felt that I actually did rip off the company, you know, because of that fact. But
yeah, I'd be very surprised if someone actually did not think this show was one of the best shows from TNA ever, or, you know, I would say even ever. You know, it was that good. I really think it was that good. And if you didn't watch it, you know, you can hear our results here on iTunes. The show will be up. It's on Blog Talk Radio as well. And we have about 4 minutes remaining in the show. Patrick, what do you think? How do you think? Did it a pretty good job?
It was definitely a solid outing from TNA. There's no denying that. One of the better pay-per-views, in their history. I mean, even if your 10-year anniversary show is bad, and not to why Slammiversary kind of was, then you better make your big show be good. And in this case, TNA did that. They didn't do so well with Slammiversary, but they had their other show, their other big show, be
Lockdown.
Good. This was a great show.
Yeah, this was beyond good. It was a great show. Real quickly, before I head out for the night, best match of the night?
For me...
Or favorite moment?
If I was going by match, it would probably be the street fight. Favorite moment? Probably the unmasking. I would have to go with Devon being unmasked.
Absolutely. I 100% agree. I was hoping we would agree together because me and you have this connection, I think. I think Jay now will understand by listening to the show that me and you, Patrick, should just basically take over the entire radio universe.
Absolutely.
And
I wholeheartedly agree with you, Will.
Patrick, thanks for calling in tonight, for being the official co-host of this show. I thank you very much for joining in. Any last fans to the PWP universe?
Keep it clean.
Thank you very much. Excellent. Keep it clean. Instead of saying keeping it real, he says keep it clean. I want to thank everybody for joining into the show. I'd like to thank Jay Aletto, first off, for giving me the opportunity to do this post-show. For you fans out there, we do this for you. We want you guys to come on in and just be a part of it. And we're giving back, and not only in writing some great content, but also producing some great radio content. And that's why we do this. We need you all to spread the word around. Make sure you go to iTunes tonight if you were not able to listen to this show live. We are always going to be on iTunes. Rate, subscribe, get us up on the rankings. You can listen to us here on Blog Talk Radio. We have if you look up pro wrestling, we're on the second page, as one of the top shows. I want to thank Patrick for calling in tonight, for being the co-host of the year for PWP Radio. And make sure you go to all of our channels. We, of course, have ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. Great article content. You want to be a writer, go in. Remember, we have our Amazon store. I bought a couple things through there. It helped come back. Is there something back for the show? Oh, I get a little woman in the Blog Talk Radio ear telling me 90 seconds. I get that. I know I can fill time. You know, also go to ProWrestlingFacebook.com/ProWrestlingPowerhouse. Join our page. Like our page. We also have a group page out there where we have a lot of discussion going on. You know, great articles, I'm sure, are coming up for this show. And give Impact a chance. They proved tonight that you need to give them a chance. You also need to give TLDWrestling.com a chance as well. And I'm going to leave you guys on a positive note because, again, as I mentioned in the middle of the show, I am giving away my TLD theme song, not only as you can listen to in the car and repeat it all the time, especially when you're in the gym working out, but also as a ringtone. So I'm going to let you go on that. Thank you for joining us. And I'm not going to keep it real, Jay Aletto. This is TLDWrestling.com, TLD, ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. Thank you for joining us. And please keep listening to us. And Tuesday night, we will have another show. Always remember, Tuesday at 9 o'clock, we have a show. Thank you very much. And remember to always go buy TLD merchandise.
It's TLD.
Yeah.
4-time tag team champion. I'm curvy. I'm cute. I'm a champion.
what I do. You get to lay on TLD.
Why everything, dammit? I'm TLD.
Brand new deals that we have at TLD Russell.